Okay, could we have all the fathers come up front here for a sec? Today is Father's Day. How many of you guys realize that today is Father's Day? Yeah, most of you did. Most of you have already been on the phone or got your card off in the mail this week. Or
I might even gotten one.
Might have even gotten one. I didn't get one.
You can cut it.
You know, once a year we get a chance to pay a special tribute to our fathers. Some of us, we let the time go by and we don't get a chance to maybe drop her dad a card in the mail or give him a card on the, or give him a call on the phone or something. But we want to make sure and pay special tribute to our dads today. They are very important to us and to the kingdom of God. Isn't that right? You know, we've been talking about, or Stan rather, has been bringing us a message on calling. And you know, you don't think about being a dad as being a calling, but being a dad is a big calling. It really is. And I remember there was a t-shirt that says that it's easy to be a father. You remember that t-shirt?
They say,
but it
right,
takes
so.
Something special to be a dad. Yeah. And there's a lot behind that, because it is, you know, there's many, many children out there that have been fathered, but many of them don't have dads. And we just want to pay a special tribute to you guys this morning and tell you how much we appreciate you. If we could give you a gift that you were worth, it wouldn't go in this bag that I have here. But do we have all of our fathers up here? Patrick? Well, come on down, Patrick Schlachter. You're the next
father. You send him up, and then you bring him down.
I know, but he's got it set. He'll have to edit out maybe this section of it. You guys can turn around.
Uh-oh. Don't play pin the tail, huh?
Yeah, pin the tail.
That's why I'm not going down there.
We want to give you guys something this morning that I know that you'll use, because it is a very useful tool. And I hope that every time that you see this little gift that is just a small... It is just a small token of our appreciation and our love to you guys. But I hope that every time that you see this this gift, that you'll think of what it really means. And the gift is a keychain. It says, "Real men read the instructions." And you know, that's kind of a that's kind of a teaser for some of us gals. But the real instructions that we want you to read is God's word.
Amen.
And that's the real instructions. You know, you can blow through and not read the other instructions, but we want to make sure that you read the good instructions.
Hey, give me one of those. I need one of those. Oh, okay.
Anyway, we just want to let you guys know that we do appreciate you very much. And Lord bless you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Here, you want to take that down. I got a different one, and I'm not going to tell you what it says. I'll try to figure out where it was an insult or a compliment.
It just fell that way.
Okay. If anybody needs that fan, Harry, I think our breaker must have tripped or something. No? Oh, okay. How can you be cold in here? Well, let's warm it up then. I'm still sweating. Father, we ask you to take this time and this powerful, life-changing thing called your word. Put them together to baptize us and anoint us and correct and direct us to be a powerful tool in the kingdom of God. Let it touch everyone here. We're going to speak to the fathers this morning, but Let it touch everyone here. And for that, we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I said we're going to speak to the fathers, but actually what we're going to speak to is man. Simply because in Genesis 1:26 it says, we were created in the Father's likeness and image, so every man should bear the same calling. Y'all can say amen to that. We are going to talk about a calling. And I want to tell you this, and whether it's true or not, I want you to listen to this. And I want you to take it as a burden, not a compliment, okay? The calling of a man is the highest calling on this earth. I don't want to argue where it's true or not. I just want to put some pressure on the men. It's the highest calling on the face of the earth. I believe that. If I don't believe it, I won't try to live up to the calling. So I'm going to say, the calling of man is the highest calling on the face of this earth. It's a calling that encompasses so much pressure and burden and protection, which all translates into covering. One of the things that, through some conversation, came very real to me is that the only covering that's on this earth is a male covering. Without it, women are uncovered. What does a woman cover? She's not. She's to be covered. No insult about that. It's just the truth. A woman is to be covered. She is to pray for that. She is to seek that. And she's to not accept anything but a covering. If she doesn't have one, she's to cry out to God, her true covering, to ask for one on this earth. So what's she really asking for? A man. A real man. The Bible says a woman's desire is for a husband, a covering. Not just a spouse, but a covering. The title of this is called to manhood or called to might. I want to call them the same thing. I am getting so tired of hanging around sissy men. I can't stand them anymore. They're just beginning to turn my stomach. Sissy men. And I got a feeling that I got God's feeling on the heart of the matter. Called to manhood, called to might. God created man in His likeness and image. The devil has been trying to turn him into some other image ever since. Is this true? Now, if man is created in God's likeness and image, then what you look like is what you intend for others to see God as. That's your calling. Your calling is not your own personality, your own way, your own will. It's an exact replication or shadow or image of God. Maybe that's why sometimes our children get messed up. They're confused. Because Dad says, do it my way, and God says, do it my way, and they're not anywhere near the same. God created man in His likeness and image to rule and reign in extreme and total dominion. Not to be afraid of anything, not to be worried for anything, not to be worried that something's going to happen to his wife or his children or his finances or his job. Because if you're full of fear, you teach it to your family. Other interests and other forces and other powers pulled him down to a much lower state. God, therefore, has to call. Come back to my image. That's the truest form of calling of God. Come back to my image. He continually calls. Thank God he didn't put it all on us at one time. Every time we are able to accomplish something to get closer to God, He gives us one more little step. And it's not another challenge. It's another advantage we have over the world. We will never walk in the power and dominion, the likeness of God, until we learn to obey the call. What is the call? Here's what everybody thinks the call is. The call to preach. The call to teach. The call to the mission field. The call to evangelize. No, it isn't. The call is, be in my likeness and image. Do it my way. Be like me. And I'll give you one of those other facets of my personality. Now, I've got some encouraging news for you. In our attempt to try to be like God, to try to be a good father and husband, we do it always right. Correct? We're always right. We're just perfect. We never have a... No. And the problem is that when we make these mistakes, no matter what time of life it is, the devil comes around, you can be assured of this, to convince you that that fact will keep you from ever going forward again. God called us out of His need to perfect this earth. He didn't call us out of perfection. He didn't wait until we were perfect to say, go make others perfect. Amen? He takes us from right where we are and says, don't you worry about it. You just try to be like me, and I'll worry about what other people see. Our goal is to seek perfection through obedience and faith. Thank God we can say and faith, because sometimes I miss the obedience part. Sometimes I just don't always hit that right on the head, but I have faith that God's in the process of working, changing what was meant for bad to good. Now I want you to, you can write this down or turn there, whatever. Philippians 3. Philippians 3, verse 12. Philippians 3, 12. Not as though I had already attained. Now this is Paul speaking. How many of you know, if you've ever studied the life of Paul, that he was far from perfect? Paul's a good hero. If you want to just make a lot of mistakes, he's a good hero, because Paul made a ton of them. And right here he's saying, I've been talking to you, I've been preaching to you, I've been ministering to you, I've been trying to set the church straight, I've been trying to do this, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. I'm not trying to convince you that I've already done everything I'm telling you to do, or I'm already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. Let me say it another way. I'm walking the call. God called me, and I'm going after the call. You see that? God called me, and I'm chasing the call. God apprehended me, turned me around, gave me the carrot, and I'm chasing it. That's all I'm doing. I'm showing up here and ministering to you. I'm telling you what God's telling me. That's what He was telling these people. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things, brethren, let me back up, 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, I haven't caught it yet. I'm still after it. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. How many of you got some befores? And I don't mean priors. I mean something in front of you that you're going after. If you don't, you need some. You need big ones. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What's the mark? As far as I'm concerned, it's God's likeness and image, His will. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. And I pray that today. If you got any other mind than what the mind of Christ is trying to get to us today, God shall reveal even this unto you. Now, how many of you in the process of trying to be a father, trying to be a man, trying to be a provider, trying to be whatever God wants you to be on top of that, have failed? Ever failed at doing this? Kind of blew your stack sometime or whatever? All of us have. All of us have shown some type of failure or weakness, but you're still called, right? A mistake doesn't negate a call. A failure doesn't negate a call. Man, on Wednesday night, we sat there and read about Elijah. I mean, what a bold man. I mean, he did some crazy and miraculous things. And then one little woman speak to him, and he run and hide. And you know what? He was still called. And he still had a job to do, no matter where he ran and hid or not. And he had to face up to that fact. That's what made him a man. And the next time he had to do it, he did it. God didn't kill him. God didn't stamp him failure. God didn't say, I'll never use you again. He didn't say that. Judges. Judges chapter 6, verse 10. You remember Gideon? Gideon did a mighty work, was chosen to do a mighty work. I want you to look at something here. Gideon was hiding. Judges chapter 6, verse 10. I wish we had time to sit and read the Bible in its entirety, but we don't. You have to do that at home. But Gideon was hiding. He was hiding out under a tree. He had run from a... You put it in there, in your life, whatever makes you run. He just ran from that. And here's what God came and said. Also I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. It doesn't make a difference where you are. It doesn't make a difference how many there are and how big they are. Don't fear. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the tree. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Do you think he was feeling like a mighty man of valor right about that time? There is something that's been eating my heart. I'm going to develop this as time goes, but the Bible says, take no thought for tomorrow. Tomorrow has its own worries. It'll be there. Just don't worry about it. And God's really dealing with me about that, thinking that tomorrow is another one of God's creations. Tomorrow is God's creations. Tomorrow was created for you and I. Tomorrow is full of blessings for you and I. Tomorrow is full of obedience to you and I. Tomorrow has to provide sunshine and has to provide everything. I mean, it just has to do what God assigned it to do. It does not have a choice, unlike you and I. It doesn't have a free will. Don't worry about it. It'll happen. You know, it's nearly like the angel of the Lord came with a word from the Lord to Gideon here and said, I'm going to call you as I see you, mighty man of valor. I'm going to name you according to your calling, mighty man of valor. Your name is going to, I'm going to speak to you according to your true name. Hiding under this tree, shaking. Mighty man of valor. Thank God he doesn't wait until we're perfected before he starts calling us. Amen? Gideon said to him, Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? Y'all have never said that before, have you? Gideon is probably the first and the last person that ever said that. Why has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about? Verse 14. Then the Lord turned to him and said, Go in this might of yours. Now come on. How mighty do you think Gideon felt right about that time? I mean, he ran from assignment from God, and God tracked him down, called him a mighty man of valor, and said, Go in the might that you have. And I know that Gideon wanted to say, I'm a mouse. I ran. I squealed. And I'm hiding. Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? Now listen to me. Listen, this is so good. See, it wasn't a voting thing. God never sat down with Gideon and said, Would you do this? He said, You'll do this. That's a calling, right? That's a calling. And when he ran from what he told him to do, he wasn't acting like the mighty man of valor. He called him a mighty man of valor. He told him he had might. And he said, Don't worry about it. Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. This excites me like you will. Whether you believe it or not, I'm excited. Have I not sent you? Will God send you a place to let you fall? See, this is a rhetorical question. Have I not sent you? Of course, he knew that. But that wasn't the end of that question. If God sends you, if God gives you an assignment, He has to accomplish the assignment. That's the neat part about this thing. If God gives you an assignment, He has to accomplish it. He's literally visiting this chicken under the tree, this coward under the tree, this failure, and said, "Why are you worried? Didn't I send you?" Which is saying, it's a cinch. It's guaranteed. What are you worried about? You think I can fail? Let's get this down with our calling. Let's just don't put pressure on the individual. Let's put pressure on God if He says something to you. By His Word. Now here's what happens when Gideon or you and I stand up. When we finally get out from cowering under wherever the covering that we're in, that's a false covering he's under. When we get through being the coward under that covering and stand up and say, "I trust you, God." We bring faith and obedience. We bring power. We bring peace, long life, salvation, safety. We bring it to our family. We bring it to the church. We bring it to the kingdom. Men, we bring rule. We bring a covering to the house, to the family, to the house of God. If we rule and reign and walk in dominion, we bring a covering into this house and we bring it into our own houses. How do I know that? God says so. I wouldn't trust your covering, but I trust God. Now that's the truth. I wouldn't ask you to trust my covering, but I would ask you to trust God. Psalms 110:2 says this. Just write it down. 110:2. Psalms 110:2. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. The Lord shall send His strength to you. Now, whose strength should we operate in? The Lord's. And He's going to send it to you. That's cool. Here's what you do with it. Psalms 110:2. Rule in the midst of your enemies. He sends you the strength. What are you to do with it? Rule in the midst of your enemies. Now, if this is God's strength and God's rule, do you have any excuse for being afraid of any enemy? Praise God. So no calling, no matter how strong, how big, how little, no matter what impact, it shouldn't cause fear, correct? Okay. Sometimes it does. That's when the angel visits you and says, "Mighty man of valor." I made a little note here, and I want to tell you something. You women can judge this. You men, operate in it. My wife is not my enemy. My rod of strength is not to be used on my wife. My ruling causes a covering for my wife. She's not my enemy. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against you will ever prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, who shall condemn? You shall condemn. You shall condemn. Renee, we're only supposed to do that in secret. I can't do that in public. Oh, Lord forbid anybody ever hear me with a condemning word. Maybe that's the reason that I'm not as prosperous as I should be and not as strong as I should be, is I haven't used my tongue correctly. When the enemy comes, you know what Jesus did to his buddy? "Get behind me, Satan." This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me. Oh. Now listen to this. Listen. In your attempt to fulfill the call of God, in your attempt to speak the word of God, in your attempt to rule and reign in the midst of the enemy, and in your attempt to prosper, and your attempt to condemn those that are judging you, wow, where does my righteousness come from? In other words, no matter what I do, you ain't got a cotton-picking thing to say about where I'm righteous or not. This is the heritage of the saints. And their righteousness is from me. He said that right after anybody's judgment, you condemn. Proverbs 29:2. Proverbs 29:2. My righteousness is from the Lord. Fathers, husbands, and everybody else in here, if your righteousness is from the Lord, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Does that mean you wait till they rejoice before you walk in authority? I don't think so. That's like trying out and go out and harvest before you plant. There's going to be a time when you begin to walk in authority where people are going to come against you. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan. I'm going to leave that alone. We sometimes become confused and do not know what to stand against. How many of you know what to stand for? I bet you everybody in here knows what to stand for. I think that most of our churches and religion in general, and especially democracy, has confused, muddied the water on what we're to stand against. In our society, what's the queer phrase? Diversity. What about diversity? It's kind of like celebrate diversity. That's right. Celebrate diversity. I'm created in God's likeness and image. And that's as diverse as I can be. And I have no choice, no vote, nothing. That's my diversity. God gave me a personality. That's my diversity. As long as it's kept in the guidelines of God's likeness and image, I can be as diverse as I want. And by the way, I can be as perverse as I want. As long as I keep it in the guidelines of God's likeness and image, His Word. By the way, if everybody's doing right, how much rule do you need? It's so funny to stand out here and hear Patrick say something and you can't see him. Yeah, it's just a voice that comes from the wilderness up there. If everybody's doing right, nobody needs any rule. We need no rule. So, if we're still called to rule and reign, there must be something we have to be called to stand against. Not just for. Okay. 1 Corinthians. You know the Ten Commandments. 1 Corinthians 6. Verse 9. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. You know what the Ten Commandments say. They're still in effect. You know what the two most important commandments that encompass the ten say. You've read the rules of God over and over and over and over. You know about tithe and offering, even though some deny. You're just kidding yourself. You know about faithfulness and boldness and serving God and listening to God. You know about all that. And if we give a test here, most of you just say, got to do those things, got to do those things, got to do those things. I'm beginning to believe that since we know all of that, we better know what we can't do and what we cannot tolerate. Anything that's against the Word of God, you cannot tolerate. God will not share a place of sin. You need to know that. You cannot tolerate sin. Grace and mercy can tolerate, but you can't. Your stand must be, I'm on God's side. And if you're against God, I'm against you. That's how simple it is. Choose you this day. Anything lukewarm makes God sick. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Or do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? How many of you know that some people are not going to make it? How many of you know that some Christians that say they're Christians, the Bible says, is not going to make it? Why? No stand. No stand. Or do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate men. That means don't be soft with God. Don't be soft with the world. Nor homosexuals. Seems like a big topic that we allow even in the churches anymore. And God says no homosexuals. Now, we're not talking about persons. We're talking about spirits here. I just wonder how many Christians would be in the kingdom of God right now if true Christians would stand against spirits of deception and Jezebel and all of this other crud. Nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now listen, if God's not going to have anything to do with these things, should we? If God's going to boldly stand up and says, they're not going to spend any time with me, what should you say? What should you say? Liars, gossipers, those are listed in here, by the way. Anybody lie to you will kill you. Just remember that. You may not get from one point to the other, but anybody lie to you will steal from you. And anybody who steal from you will eventually kill you. That's just a good old country logic there. Just get it down. Here's the cool part. We are never disqualified because of fear, failure, false teaching, or rejection. Or even if I ever fell in one of these categories at one time in my life, if I was in one of these categories, that doesn't mean that I'm totally rejected. Because there's a Spirit of God coming to remind me, just like He did Gideon, mighty men of valor, didn't I call you? Didn't I send you? Now, He's not saying you can be a homosexual and be sent. He's not saying that. Never has, never will. It's like the messenger. You didn't deliver the message, you ate it. I mean, that's when a guy is called and goes that perverse, he lost the message somewhere. Turn to Acts. We're going to read this. There's a number of verses here I want you to read along with me. Acts chapter 7. And this is talking about Moses. I chose the New Testament version of it because it's much clearer and shorter, for one thing. Acts chapter 7, verse 20. We're going to read 16 verses or so. And I want to do this to encourage us today. See, it doesn't make any difference. Man, I look across here, there's a wide variation of people standing, sitting here. And I know most of the histories, I know the failures, I know what you perceive as failures, it may not even be failures. And I know that the devil has told every person in here that they're worthless to the kingdom of God because of that. Your calling doesn't go away because you made a mistake. Your calling goes away because you refuse to admit it. Your calling goes away because you made the mistake and you won't admit it and change. You know, if Gideon hadn't followed that call of God, he'd be buried out under that tree. Because God's not going to bring the people to Him. He's going to go do what He was told to do. Verse 20. Moses was born and was well-pleasing to God. Now listen to this. Moses was born and was well-pleasing to God. Why was Moses well-pleasing to God? Because you forget that Moses sees from the beginning to the end. And I wish we'll never have that ability, but look at the baby and know what that baby's going to accomplish. And he goes, that's good. Now I've just got to teach this baby how to accomplish what I already know he's going to do. Ooh, that's a cool thought if you'll think about it. God only has the ability to know exactly what it's going to take to get you to do exactly what He wants you to do. Nobody else does, only Him. And he was brought up in his father's house for 3 months. But when he was set out, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and brought him up as her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. Now listen to me. This is a man of God that's just been taught everything except God. That's what that said. He was taught in the ways of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in word and deed. Now, when he was, by the way, most church people would say, with that kind of upbringing, you never will be able to work for God. Now, when he was 40 years old, let's see, from a baby to, that's 40 years somewhere went. What happened to 40 years? Y'all can say the same thing sometime, right? cool part of this is we're not locked in to how many years are behind us. It's what's in front of us. 40 years. It came into his heart to visit his brethren. Moses might have known he was adopted, but those people were not his brethren. The Egyptians were, but something got in his heart. That's called a call. Something got into his heart. I've told everybody, I didn't want kids. Man, I didn't want anything to do with kids. But the first time I ever held Jason, something got in my heart. That's God. That's not that kid. That was the same stinky, smelly kid that I saw all the rest around the world. They're all a pain. But something got in my heart. It's a call. It came in his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed and struck down the Egyptian. Now listen to me. For 40 years, this man had been taught to do the opposite. He'd been taught that the way of life, the only way of life, is to use those slaves called Israelites. And to beat them, to do whatever it took to get the work done. That's how Pharaoh's kingdom made it. And all of a sudden, he saw one of them suffering. And he not only defended, but avenged it and killed an Egyptian. Something got in his heart. For he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand. There's a powerful statement you want to study a little bit. He just figured everybody would understand. He was doing right, so he just figured everybody would understand. Well, if you ever figure that, you're up Skunk Creek without a paddle. If you think people are going to perceive what you're doing is right, think again. Your righteousness is from God. And the next day he appeared to two of them as they were fighting and tried to reconcile them, saying, "Men, you are brethren. Why do you wrong one another?" Now listen, this is a perfect picture of a man beginning to fulfill a call and nobody understanding. The Egyptians couldn't understand him wanting to help an Israelite. The Israelites couldn't help them understanding or turning against the Egyptians. He didn't fit anybody's category. He was an enemy in all camps. And he wasn't real good at what he was doing, but he was beginning to fill the call. What's in front of you? What's in front of you? Are you beginning to fill the call? Something in your heart? And you're kind of botching it all up like me? I don't care. I don't care. This encourages the fire out of me for an angel to visit me and say, "I sent you. Don't worry about it." But he who did... Okay, the next day he appeared. But he who did his neighbor wrong pushed him away, saying, "Who made you a ruler and a judge over us?" First man that stands up to defend them, they don't like it. "Do you want to kill me as you did the Egyptian yesterday?" Oh. Doesn't that sound churchy? I mean, that just happens in church. You see a man of God stand up and get mad and fight the enemy. The next time you go over and smile at a Christian and say, "Oh, I'm afraid of you. I saw what you did over there." Then at this saying, Moses fled and became a dweller in the land of Midian, where he had two sons. Now, the first time he stood up to try to fulfill the call of God that was eating him, somebody stood up against him and he got afraid. Another man of God that got afraid. Moses. Moses wouldn't be afraid. Well, he did, and he ran. And when 40 years had passed, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire in a bush in the wilderness of Mount Sinai. Now, how old is this guy? He's 80 years old. Surely nobody could do anything at 80 years old, Harry. Way past prime for calling. And surely God wouldn't have had this kind of patience with somebody for 80 years. He would have killed him a long time before that. When Moses saw it, he marveled at the sight. And as he drew near... Did I skip something? Yeah. When 40 years had passed, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire in a bush in the wilderness of Mount Sinai. When Moses saw it, he marveled at the sight. And as he drew near to observe, the voice of the Lord came to him, saying, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses trembled and dared not look. Why? Well, I can tell you one thing. There had been a good 40-year separation. He hadn't been talking to God. Well, I mean, the one time, you know, he tried to step out and do something, he got slaughtered. So for 40 more years, he said, I ain't talking to that God. You know what happened last time I tried that? Praise God, he's faithful. Then the Lord said to him, take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their groaning and have come down to deliver them. And now, come, I will send you to Egypt. He didn't say, can I send you to Egypt? If I'm really nice to you, would you go? If I gave you lots of money and an airplane, would you go? You said, I will send you to Egypt. This Moses, whom they rejected, saying, who made you a ruler and a judge? Is the one God sent to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel who appeared to him in the bush? That is the God. It is. He brought them out after he had shown wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. Look how simple that. Isn't that amazing how simple they made that statement? They weren't there in all that junk that Moses went through, were they? But isn't that just like people? They see a guy doing something, they don't look at what he had to go through. Now listen. This is a tremendous picture. Watch on to it. Moses was born, wrong place, wrong time, according to the world. I mean, his mother couldn't. I promise you, none of you have had the problems this guy did. Now, he had a pretty good life there for 40 years, kind of lived on the fat of the land. But the first time he tried to do right, he got afraid and he ran. So now he's got fear added to it. He's got fear and disgrace added to his life. Born on the wrong side of the tracks, on the lots of wealth, but it's still the wrong side. Do you remember what God asked him to do, Moses? Would you go tell your family that they've been doing wrong? Isn't that what God told him to do? His adopted family, go tell them that they're doing wrong. The Egyptians, that's where he had to go. Go tell your family they're doing wrong. And here's what I'll do. Your family's powerful and they're smart. They got lots of money. And they got sorcerers and witches and everything around there. This ain't going to be easy. But you just trust me. They're not bigger than me. And Moses, of all things, just walked right up. Harry walked right up in the face of the most powerful man on the face of the earth and said, you're doing wrong. And if you don't straighten up, you're going to be sorry. And he trusted God to back that up. After his failures, after even 80 years, if you might say failures, he did that. So is it too late for any of us to start? Have we had too much defeat? Is it too big a deal? If our righteousness is in God, if all we have to do is stand up and with our mouths condemn unrighteousness, we got a chance, Harry. We got a chance to deliver some people from the hands of the enemy. We got a chance. More than we got a chance, we got a command. We got an order saying, I sent you. I'll send you. Go do it. Now, what problems have you got that are a little too big with these statements in mind? You know, Patrick and Donna are just stupid enough to believe God. They're taking a scarier step than standing in the face of Pharaoh. Because that could last a long time. Amen? God says, I sent you. I'll take care of it. You just do what I tell you to, and I'll take care of it. It's never too late. You have not traveled too far. You've not gone too long. You've not done too much wrong. The angel of the Lord said, get up. Let's go. Let me ask you something. Do you have the ability to get up? Ever think about that, Harry? All the angel said is, get up. Just get up. He said to Gideon, get up. He said to Moses, get up and come. He's saying it to you and I. It's too simple, isn't it? All we got to do is get up. I need to hear this. How about you? I need to quit worrying about what other people think. I need to quit worrying about the botches and the mistakes that I've made in the past, even if they might have been a 21-year one. Has nothing to do with nothing. We saw that here. Your mistakes don't have anything to do with your future. Nothing. Are you... Listen, and don't ask for a second opinion on this. There's no mistake in the world that's bigger than God. You're wasting your time if you're asking a second opinion on that one. That's the truth. And it's backed up by the Word. And all you have to do is get up. So get up. Y'all stand up. Come on, you can do that. At least you can make that effort. And I want you in your spirit to tell God, now what? Yeah, now what? Take God serious. I would say this stronger now than I've ever said in my life, that every person has a call on their life. Every person. My call shouldn't be important to yours, and yours shouldn't be important to me. No matter what I said, hear it correctly. My call should not be important to you, and yours shouldn't be important to me. Your call should be important to you. And let God do the meshing. Let God do the working it out. Here's what you need to do. You need to stand up and make a commitment to be a Moses. Stand in the face of the enemy with God's word. Be a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Stand publicly with no fear and reveal Jesus Christ, even out of season and out of time. Be an Abraham. Stand in faith. Stand mightily and receive the promises of God. Be a David. Stand no matter what size of man or beast. Stand with a pure heart. Be a Solomon. Stand in the wisdom of God for you and yours. Be a Jesus. Stand for God. Be powerful. Be strong. Set examples. Obey God. Be Paul. Stand no matter what the cost and minister. Give it all to God. Be John. Speak word. Speak your vision with no fear. Be a man of God. You know what a man of God is? He's called. He's a mighty man of war, mighty man of valor, mighty man of battle, mighty man of word, mighty man of courage, a man that rules, a man that covers, a man that loves, a man that the enemy fears, a man that is respected, a man that is true, a man that is faithful and full of the word. Is that a goal for everybody in here? Can we just make that a goal? The Bible wasn't written as a storybook. It was written as a promise. The examples, do you know that most examples in the Bible start off as a bad example? I'm promising, if you don't read the whole story, every story in the Bible starts off with a bad example. Even the birth of Jesus Christ started off in a manger. But that isn't where it ended up. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. Father, this is your word. We've laid it out there. And I thank you so much that it's touched me. I thank you that revelation comes to me, Lord, that if I will fulfill the call, I get the most benefit. I get the most relationship with you if I fulfill my call. That the only misery that I suffer is when I ignore the call. And so, God, I say to you that I yield myself not only to the generalities of your word, which are enough, but to the specifics of your word, which is more than enough. Hallelujah. That's where the excitement in life can come. That's when the miracles in the kingdom of God will happen. When we stop listening to the world will tell us we're called to be a doctor, a lawyer, an Indian chief, whatever it is. Doesn't make any difference. A baker, a candlestick maker. When in reality, God tells us what we're supposed to be. What we're supposed to do. God, let this word today, once again, open hearts so they can't be closed to you anymore. God, I pray that by your power, by your spirit, it's by your righteousness, by your grace, and by your mercy can this be done. And I ask you to open every heart here. Touch those hurts. Touch those those impossibilities. Touch that. Let's erase that past that negates the future. And God, let us, all we can see is as we stand for you, we can see future. That with bright hope and abundance. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I give you praise. Touch right now, Lord. Touch. All hearts clear? If not, let's take care. Let's come. Let's pray. Let's get together. We're a family. Let's get together. If you feel weak, if you feel you've missed something, if you feel like that you don't have a future and you need one, let's pray. Come on, step out. Come on, let's go. This is not me calling. This is God. I'm not the guy that you want to meet. God says, I'm here. You'll go with me. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'll tell you point blank. I have never preached you a sermon as good as this one. And I'm not talking about quality. I'm talking about, oh, yes, I am talking about quality. I'm talking about the quality of the word. Okay? Praise you, Lord. Anybody else? Come on down. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. And I didn't mean that I preached it good. I meant that it was a good word. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, one day you look down on earth, not by accident, and you said, I see Gary, and I'm well pleased. And that's the word for you, Gary. God is well pleased. I'm not saying to you that God says to you, you've done everything perfect. David didn't. Stan didn't, and Gary didn't. But in Jesus' name, you have a new mind. And you have a new heart full of encouragement and future. We don't say this by our might and by our power, but by the name of Jesus Christ. You have a clear tongue and a clear mind. You can speak your thoughts, and you can speak them boldly, Gary. You don't have to depend on your ability. You depend on God's ability through you. You are called, and be called. Don't fight that. Just be called. Pray hard and ask God what He wants you to do, and then don't worry about it. He'll do it through you. He'll do it. Don't be an independent guy anymore. Be a son of God. Don't be a man that's full of fear. That's not the likeness and image of God. Be strong in the power of His might. God has great things. Just relax in Him, Gary, and expect Him. Don't rest. Expect God to do great things for you. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Patrick mentioned his back, and we speak to that now. We speak back, be healed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
By the hand of God, by the blood of Jesus Christ and His bruises, by not a suggestion, by a command, we speak to this body and say, body, you quit lying to Patrick.
That's right.
You were created, just as tomorrow was created, you were created to accomplish for Patrick what he needs to accomplish. And so you straighten up. You straighten up and you do what you're supposed to do. You do it because God made you to do it. You do it because God commanded you to do it. And you do it because you don't have any other choice now in Jesus' name. Be fruitful and multiply. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. And Father, we speak over this impending union of 2 to 1. And we'll say this again, but we do it now in preparation for the future. That these two, because of their faith and because of their trust in you, will do mighty, mighty things in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
and their future is bright. And therefore, the kingdom's future is bright because they have submitted themselves one to another, to you, to your will, in the place where you sent them, and they didn't use their little brains to try to figure out why they shouldn't. They just obeyed. God bless them for that. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise your Lord. And by the way, we speak over that thing called a past, and we curse it to hell. We send the past to the deepest depths of the ocean where nobody can touch it.
Amen.
And it will no longer, either side, have anything to do with this marriage, this relationship. It will be erased from their minds. It will not be brought up as material to affect the new future, the new thought patterns, the new thinking as one. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That includes every other sickness and disease that tries to come.
Amen.
It's cursed to hell in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. What else? Who else? Praise you, Lord. You have no future without God. That should be the words from our heart constantly to the world and to each other. You have no future without God. You may think you do. You may make a little money. You may have a little fun. But you don't have any future without God. Your future is dim, sad, sick. You know, I guess if I was 20, it wouldn't make much impression on me if a guy was 80 called and did a work for God. But now that I'm not 20, I'm impressed. And I'm excited. Because I don't care what any of you have done. You haven't done any worse than me. So don't try to get an unrighteous, lofty position. You know what I'm saying by that? Too many times we say, well, I did worse than you. Well, what do you want, a dinky button? Come on, let's get on. You know, let's don't try to get a gold medal in unrighteousness. Praise the Lord. Once again, all hearts clear? Then we'll end it this way. Father, I pray for every heart, every life represented here. God, in a way that you've never done before, reveal yourself to every person here. Take this word, oh man, take this word, Lord, and don't let me forget it, and don't let anyone here forget it. These people are called to a powerful future, every one of them, in their own way. And we've covered it today. Age is not a factor. Failure is not a factor. Fear is not a factor. Mistakes, it's not a factor. God says, forget it. I have called you. I am calling you a people, a mighty people of valor. I'm telling you that I have sent you. Trust me. All I ask you to do is represent me, my likeness and my image, not yourself, not what the world thinks, but represent me. Make me proud. In Jesus' name, we place that on your people. And rest in it. Hallelujah. And I want you to say, thank you, Lord. And amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Be blessed. What is that? Drink water.